I'm trying to figure out how to manage my sleep on this trip. We've got, I guess, another 9 hours to Dubai, 7 hours in Dubai, 16 hours to Brisbane, 6 hours on the ground, King Air, 5 hours to get to Alice, and then we're off to the races.
In the ferry business, we do some serious long-haul flying. It's the nature of the beast. Aircraft leasing companies that call us to pick up and relocate their aircraft in between leases are the bread and butter of the Nomadic Aviation Group. And company-wide, we do at least a few ultra-long hauls per month. While this trip wasn't the longest we've ever done, it was certainly top 10. COVID-related travel restrictions didn't help either. Over 6 days, Ava and I would first travel from the United States to Brisbane, Australia, the long way around, then charter a King Air 200 from Brisbane to Alice Springs, and that's before even seeing a cockpit. Once in Alice, our mission would be to ferry an Airbus A320 all the way to France, a journey that would require technical stops in Jakarta, Colombo, Muscat, and Cairo. Once finished, I'd then travel to Paris and Lisbon just to get back to where I started. This epic journey would cover 30,000 miles, involve flying on 6 different aircraft types, A380, 777, King Air 200, A320, A319, and an A330neo, and only 3 brief stays in hotels. It was nearly as difficult to coordinate this trip as it was to fly it. This is how we earn our paychecks.
Steve, we having fun yet? Trying to get to Australia?
Man. Having a blast. I live for this shit.
Yeah.
This particular trip originated from our Asia office, so Wes Gardner was in charge of the planning. Starting about a week before we left, Wes and I did nightly phone briefings to address aircraft status and the constantly changing rules surrounding entry to Australia as passengers but departure as crew.
Yeah, you have to take, we have to get a handler to escort you from, basically from the airplane through customs and quarantine and all that shit, and then you have to take approved ground transport to the approved crew hotel, and then you'll spend the night there. It's a 4-point Sheraton downtown, and then next morning it'll be approved transport out to Archer Field Airport, and then jump on the King Air over to Alice Springs.
Oh my God. Ava lives in Seattle, so he had an early start. His itinerary took him down to San Francisco, where he'd connect on an Emirates 777 nonstop to Dubai, and there we'd meet up and travel together to Brisbane. I, on the other hand, flew out of New York's JFK on the A380. As a result of the COVID restrictions in Australia that involve a daily passenger cap and a lottery system for ticket sales, we had to fly Emirates first class all the way. On one hand, the tickets were $12,000 each, but on the other, Emirates First is the best ride in the world, hands down, so we weren't complaining. I fly on a lot of different carriers, and when asked, I always qualify Emirates First as the best ride in the sky. There's really no better on the market. For one, the suites are spacious cubicles with comfy seats, electrically actuated doors which provide privacy, a high-end order-anytime menu, and a basket of treats complemented with an assortment of beverages stowed conveniently right in the console. The service is impeccable, and the experience really makes the longest journey a pleasant experience. Arriving rested and fresh is not only a benefit, but a requirement when you're an operating flight crew going straight into duty on arrival. If you're fortunate enough to be in first on an Emirates A380, you'll find the experience is elevated even more. The massive aircraft is truly in a league of its own.
Okay, I know it's a little weird that
I brought a camera into the bathroom with me, but I mean, you gotta get an understanding of the scale of this bathroom. The A380 is pretty ridiculous if you think about it. So it's like basically a dressing room, and yes, this is a shower.
I spent the bulk of the 13-hour flight from New York to Dubai gazing up at the stars and getting caught up on sleep. After what seemed like a short time later, we were taxiing in. Ava's and my flights ended up landing within minutes of each other, and we met up in the lounge in Dubai before our next flight, a nearly 15-hour haul continuing southeast down to Brisbane.
There he is. What's up, man?
Trying to get my boarding pass.
For what?
To go to Brisbane?
Why do I have mine already?
I don't know. It's the standard. Take your passport, shuffle it around to 12 different people, and make phone calls.
Yeah, you got hosts. I'm good. So yeah,
you're going solo.
I guess you're going somewhere else.
If I recall, we had about 4 hours on the ground there in Dubai. First class lounge is, as you would expect, a great place to kill a few hours. It was the middle of the night in Dubai, and our time there was spent eating fresh sushi, trading emails related to the mission prep, and just sitting around in comfy chairs shooting the breeze. The time passed quickly, and before long, we were boarding another long-haul Emirates flight, this time a 777-300ER. The first-class accommodations are identical to the A380 for the most part, except no shower.
Steve, we having fun yet? Trying to get to Australia?
Having a blast. I live for this shit.
Yeah. That's probably Steve's A380 park right there.
Could be.
Ours is over here. Steve's packing his bag.
It's my personal A380.
Just got to run around trying to get into the boarding area.
Always to run around.
Yeah.
Everything related to Australia is basically up and running.
It's not good. Oh, we got that down.
Yeah. Is this even our airplane?
We end up in New Delhi.
Yeah. I see a 777 over there, so that's
good. That's a good start.
Doing two back-to-back 14-plus-hour flights as a passenger with a sit-in-between isn't necessarily exhausting in itself. It's actually quite nice. But what it does do is alter your entire perception of what day it is and how long you've been away from home. It takes some getting used to, but at this point I kind of think it actually helps reset the body clock for what lies ahead. And we had a heck of a lot in front of us.
Side of the Queensland border down at the bottom end of the Gold Coast.
Oh man.
And this mop up here don't seem to give a stuff. and they've opened Queensland up to some home, they're trialing home quarantine, right? To get people home.
Yeah.
But the rules of home quarantine say that you can't drive across the border, you've got to fly into Brisbane.
Oh my goodness.
So these people are what we call grey nomads, a lot of them, they drive all over Australia with their caravan and their car.
Yeah.
They're stuck across the border, and they're asking them to fly back to Sydney, catch a plane from Sydney to Brisbane so they can get in to go to home.
Oh my God.
And leave their caravan and their pets and
everything wow. else. And that's just across state lines.
That's just across state lines, yes.
Australia is a shit show. I'm sorry, but there's no better way to describe it. Among the worst to deal with during the pandemic, and our most frequent trip this year.
I just got to the hotel in Brisbane. Actually, we arrived here probably about 30 minutes ago. It is 1:11 a.m. We've been flying for like 36 hours or something. I don't know. Maybe not that much. I'm not sure. I lost track. But anyway, this is the quarantine hotel. It's at Four Points in downtown Brisbane. This is actually the first time I've ever left the airport in Brisbane. We're on the 28th floor. So quite a nice view. So we have 2 hours and 30 minutes before our ride to the Archerfield Airport, where we'll take that King Air over to Alice Springs. I think it's about a 4-hour flight, but I'm not 100% sure. And then we'll grab that A320 from there. So it's you know, we got a good amount of sleep on the way over here on the two flights, New York to Dubai and Dubai to Brisbane. No time to sleep here, but I'll shower and change, get a little bit of work done, and then we'll be on to the next phase. Hopefully we'll get some sleep on that King Air, and then we'll get a long day ahead. Here we are in Archerfield. Have you heard anything from Chris again?
OSHA?
Yeah. I think there's our plane, maybe. There's another one. The Navajo would have been cool. Yeah. I think it would have had to stop for fuel, and it's an air ambulance.
We would have had a bed to lay on.
That's true. Me and Chris took an air ambulance into Juba, South Sudan last year. I've been working too much. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. There it is. Mind if I do a loop around? Thanks, man. That's our chariot. We're getting to Alice Springs. 5 hours. 5 hours on the King Air. Caddy corner here from you.
Okay.
I remember feeling really fresh that morning when I took my seat on the well-weathered King Air 200. I mean, I had been sleeping on and off for damn near 40 hours now. There was no toilet on the King Air, and the seats were not great. This was an adventure, damn it. The crazy thing is, the trip hadn't even really started yet. Just as the door closed on the King Air, I saw the final permits and approvals come through on my phone. We were good to go as soon as we landed in Alice. This was a relief because stuff always comes up last minute, and getting stuck in northern territories during COVID times is a situation we were hoping to avoid. Prior to COVID, it was virtually unheard of for us to charter light private aircraft to get around. These days, it's pretty much a monthly occurrence. I kind of like it, to be honest. Even the old dirty air ambulance aircraft. I wasn't joking when I said I was hoping to ride to the Navajo. The Nomadic Aviation Group thrives on challenges, and I'm always first in line for the toughest adventures. They always make for the best stories. Thank you.
nice ride on this thing, man. I think I might need to get one.
Yeah, totally.
This would be fun, wouldn't it?
It would be. You go anywhere with this thing.
Yeah. It's nice, fairly quiet, all things considered.
No, once we get the clear, it's fairly quiet. I mean, I've ridden on tons of turboprops, but I don't remember it being this quiet in the cab.
No, this is about half the volume of the Aerostar, that's for sure.
Alice Springs is situated in the geographic center of Australia. All the major population centers in Oz are along the coasts. Alice is basically an island of civilization surrounded on all sides by the vast desert of the Australian outback. It's a really interesting place, and pre-COVID, I've actually spent a good bit of time there. There wouldn't be a second wasted on the ground upon arrival. The Airbus was fueled and ready on the ramp waiting for us. We wouldn't even enter a building. All we had to do was the pre-flight check, show our passports through a glass door to clear outbound, and then light the fires and go. Our plan was to be airborne within an hour.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Yeah, perfect. We're just getting off right now, and I guess we'll see you over at the jet. I think I saw it over on the ramp.
Okay, so here's the plan for the day. Blast off out of Alice and head straight for Jakarta, Indonesia, a leg which would take just under 5 hours. In Jakarta, we'd quick turn, then 4.5 to Colombo, where we'd land around sundown. Quick turn again there, and then a night flight across the Indian Ocean, Arabian Sea, and into Muscat, Oman around 11 p.m. local. The last leg of the day was going to be around 3:45, and we'd be well ready to go into rest by the time we got there. I realize this sounds like a ridiculously long day, but again, during COVID times, it's not easy to enter some countries, especially in Southeast Asia. In normal times, Jakarta overnight would have been in order. There's a reason this episode is called The Art of the Long Haul. It is definitely not a science. We operate under Part 91 of the regulations, which cover private flights, so we're not subject to the mandatory duty time restrictions that airline pilots are. We also don't like to take unnecessary risks and only assign duty blocks that the crew is comfortable with. Like I said, this kind of gig is an art, and it takes a lot of practice to know what you're mentally capable of and what you're not. If I had sent a contract crew on this operation, I'd have assigned it as a heavy crew so that one pilot could always cycle to the back for rest in flight. As you know, Ava and I have been doing this and doing it together for a long time, and this day was well within our comfort zone. Well, I did the walk around, Ava loaded the box so I could basically get in and go. Box is slang for the MCDU, or McDo as the Airbus guys say. I'm a DC-9 MD-80 guy to the core, so I still call it an FMS, but now I basically just say the box so I don't upset anybody.
Yeah, we're all clear. When you're ready, you can start both engines and start doing the remote trucks, and you can turn right straight away.
Okay,
on a 793107.
Pull chocks, and we're going to
start. 790, break Alpha Charlie, descend to flight level 110.
Start engine temperature.
Descend flight level 110.
We had a backtrack, right?
Yeah.
So you just hold short right here. Okay. Holding point delta.
Alice's main runway doesn't have a parallel taxiway, so taxiing for takeoff means entering the runway, backtracking, and then making a 180 on the numbers to take off full length. This also meant waiting our turn behind an inbound Qantas 737 from Sydney.
Two flight level 380. Runway 12, clear for takeoff, make left turn.
Okay, climb 218, flight level 380, clear for takeoff, 12, left-hand turn, no matter 5, 6, ready? Ready.
As an air traffic controller and Alice, your ground, tower, approach, and clearance delivery.
Charlie, vacate via Bravo.
Left turn, up the
shooter runway 12.
Pull up 38. Yep.
Steve. Via Bravo, to confirm that's one I'm on. Alpha Charlie, and shooter 12. Shooter down, shoot 12. Stop over, Charlie. Proceed via Bravo. Hold short down, shooter runway 12.
Proceed via Bravo.
Hold short down, shoot 12.
80.
The departure consisted of a visual left turn to intercept an airway running to the northwest. A hand-flown visual departure on a clear day is good fun even for the saltiest of us.
Yes, just give me like a 45-degree cut to that thing.
Seems about right.
Yeah, it wasn't the rough spine.
The first climb out of a long haul is the moment of truth. After sitting in storage, it's not a given that everything is going to work, and if it's going to break, it's going to happen now. Fortunately for us, this time it was just a nuisance caution associated with something we knew about. Once up at cruise and confident that we have an airworthy ship, we could sit back and enjoy the view for a while.
International Airport information, Mica time 0528 UTC. Arrival runway 25 left 25 right, departure runway 25 left 25 right, wind variable speed 02 knots, visibility 5000 meters, present weather moderate dust haze cloud broken 020, temperature 28 degrees.
Altitude 6289, continue descent 4000, clear ILS approach runway 25 left.
4000, clear for ILS 25 left, 6289.
Even in good weather, approaching Jakarta is a stressful situation. They're always handling way too many airplanes, there's 20 different accents on frequency, and everybody's stepping on each other because there's 10 airplanes looking for vectors around a line of thunderstorms.
Mike Delta 516, confirm on localizer.
Delta 516 on localizer.
516 contact tower, 118.3.
Fifty hours since we left home, landing at the first tech stop with two legs to go before we get to the hotel in Oman, half a world away.
Batik 6250 behind Airbus 320 on 4. Final landing passing, land up to 5 right behind. Echo code to Delta.
Via traffic landing passing, line up behind Eagle
100
one,
above.
Departure valley 6250.
Minimum 200.
There's a golf course over here too in the middle of the runway.
Nice.
100. 50, 40, 30, 20. Retard, retard, retard. 5.